Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Amen.
He's word.
Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Save now. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Blessed be the rock.
Yes.
My rock.
Hallelujah.
My salvation.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's got to be a personal thing.
Yeah.
Blessed be the rock.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. We're going to greet you in the name of the Most High God.
Yes, Lord.
And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes, He is.
Yes,
hallelujah.
He is.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to call your attention to one thing just before we get into the Word. Just a thing that I want you to notice. On the front of your bulletin,
yes, Lord,
we have adopted the theme of walking by faith in the Word.
Yes,
for the year of 2018. Yes. Some of you who were with us on last year, you know we had a theme about living a year without fear.
Yes, Lord.
And we had a lot of fearful things that took place during the year. But hopefully the thought and meditation on that theme carried you through some of the difficult things that you may have had to deal with.
Yes.
Amen. So this year I want to talk mainly and have this as a background flow in everything that we do. Walking by faith in the Word. Now it seems like a simplistic statement, but it's really going to be the dividing line between the saved and the lost. It's going to be those who walk by faith in the Word. Because what's coming under attack now in our culture is the Word of God.
Amen.
You see, people want to just try to give God a place with all this other stuff. But God is going to show them that He is God. Amen.
And so, there is no other!
And the ones who walk by faith in His Word are going to be the ones who persevere.
Amen.
And Jesus said many things on that topic. He said that there are is a broad way that leads to destruction.
Uh-huh.
He said, and many there be who go in thereat. Then he said, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So the few are going to be those who stick to the Word and walk in His Word, because His Word is going to stand. The Bible says even when the heavens and the earth have passed away, He said His Word will never pass away.
Never.
And so we're going to look at this today. That's the general one. Now last week, y'all know, we talked about a similar topic. We were talking about how to beautify the soul, the human soul, and we gave some information on that. So today we're going to continue in that vein of thinking, because it's important that we understand the relationship of the soul to your salvation. Amen. So we'll kind of give some brief review for some of you who may not have been here. We said that man is a triune being.
Yep.
Like God. He has a body, a soul, and a spirit.
Yeah.
Now God in and of Himself is one, the Bible says,
yep.
But He is God the Father, God the Son,
mm-hmm.
and God the Holy Spirit. He
yep.
manifests Himself in three persons. And so we talked about that a little. That's just a footnote from last week's message. So what we're going to do now is go ahead and read a few verses before we take up our topic today. We want to read a few verses from the prophet Micah in the Old Testament. They're just verses 6 in chapter 6 to verse 8. That'll give us three verses in the prophet Micah, the Old Testament. He's one of the ones that is called a minor prophet. Not because his text is not important, but because it has fewer words than people like Ezekiel and Isaiah, folks of that sort who wrote long volumes of things from God. And so we're going to look in the New Testament also in the book of James, chapter number 5, verses 16 to 20. In case you don't have the handout, we'll be in Micah 6, 6 to 8, and James 5, 16 to 20. So read with me if you don't mind in the book of Micah, chapter 6, starting at verse number 6. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Those classic verses from Micah chapter 6, and now we move to James in the New Testament. James 5 and 16 read, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of his holy word. And we want to use for a topic today to hang your thoughts on compelling confidence for guidance of the soul. Compelling confidence for guidance of the soul. Now, as we mentioned, that trichotomy, the body, the soul, and the spirit make up the human being. And there's a lot to really understand about this. God keeps it very simple in the word. That's what I love, is the simplicity of God's word. And Paul, as he prayed for the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 in the 23rd verse, he say, I pray that the God would sanctify you wholly. And he means entirely, body, soul, and spirit. See, so sanctification, that's that process of moving from being fleshly and carnal to being holy. That's the pathway of that particular thing there. And so basically, it's the process of moving from where we are when we're in the Lord to where we want to be as we continue to progress and to grow in the Lord. So compelling confidence, this is what I want you to talk about, is that system where God basically is going to move you forward. He gives you pressure in the right direction, but he's not pushing you. God never pushes you. Do you know that? He doesn't push you to do stuff, but he leads you. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to all truth. If you feel somebody pushing you, that might not be the Lord. But God doesn't push people. See, and Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens, now if you open, I will come in. I'm not going to bust your door in. You see, he's not going to do that. He's not pushing anybody anywhere. But he does lead you. And that leading is compelling. In other words, he draws you closer to him. And he draws you closer in a deeper walk with him. Amen. And he basically is guiding you. And what we said last week, just to get us back so everybody's on the same page, the soul is the portion of the human psyche, for lack of a better word, let's just say, that you have total control over. The spirit was given at the time when you were born. There was a procreation. God procreates. He works with man, and he provides a soul for every child that is conceived. Did you know that? And that's why God was able to say in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Yes.
Well, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Wow, you know what? That was before he was born. Jeremiah said, hey, you know what? This thing you talking about, go talk to all these evil folks in Israel and all that. How they going to listen to me? I'm just a child. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now think about that. Ephesians chapter number 1 verse 4 says, he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. See, if you're saved, it's God's been saving it up. You are the one just now coming to understand that God is saving me. He knew it in eternity past that you would believe and be saved. So God has given us a soul, and the beautiful thing about the soul is the part that operates, we would say, with three things you can understand, just to put some some words on it. You have a mind, a will, and you have emotions. Mind and a will and emotions.
Yes.
In other words, you can think.
Yep.
You can read, you can challenge, you can learn, and then you can choose to do what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
See? And that freedom is the thing that makes it a beautiful thing, because every soul is free. That's why you see stuff going on like you see. People say, well, God, why don't you just go and shut down all the murderers and all the people who do evil? Well, God doesn't do that. He's not pushing anyone. He gives them freedom. He wants them to choose him for their own selves. There can't be real love without real freedom.
That's right. Amen.
But man is always perplexed when we see that going on in the world. We see crime and all kinds of stuff going on. And we may know about it. Some of us know firsthand personally how we used to be. And we used to do some crazy stuff, some of us. Some of us are still battling with some craziness in our lives even right now. At one while we were maybe way worse, you know, back in the time before, if we wanted to be completely truthful about the matter. And you wonder, well, how does God, and people like to blame God for everything that's bad. They say, well, you know, well, if there's a God, why did he let that little baby get killed or something like that? They blame God for the bad stuff, but they don't say, well, thank you for all these good things that you're doing all the time. Some of these people. So anytime something goes wrong, even insurance companies, they want to say, well, that happened at your house, now your house is destroyed. That was an act of God. So they want to try to blame it on God. They want to tell you it's an act of God, and so we don't cover that. You see what I'm saying? And they want you to have insurance for every little thing. If you don't say flood insurance, you don't have any. You see? And all this kind of thing. So people always put God in the middle of every negative type of thing. And they do it, and the reason God, I think, he does this is because God wants to be loved for real.
Yes, he does.
Love has to be for real. I can't make you or force you to love me.
Amen.
You know, and so we have to choose what we do. And your soul is that active part of your mind. It would include your intelligence, your thought processes, things that you're concerned about. It would include love. It would include hate. It would include all the things that you possess that you have control of.
Yeah.
See, and sometimes we always say, like, a common phrase in our culture is, oh, I lost my temper. Well, you didn't lose your temper. You decided to blow up right at that moment. You see what I'm saying? Because you didn't like the situation. So it's not so much that you lost your temper. Your temper is there. You just decided to exercise a little wrath at the moment. But let's look at this. Because of all that going on, Micah, the prophet here, we looked at some others on previous lessons. Y'all can hear them online. But in Micah chapter 6, he's perplexed with these things in his mind about how things are going in Israel. He says, wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? What about me? He's concerned about his own situation. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Right. Wow, that's stuff in the law that was required for people who had broken God's law.
Right.
He says, will it please the Lord? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000s of rivers of oil?
Mm-hmm.
That's sacrificial offering type stuff he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Then notice this one. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He asked the question, shall I give my firstborn? Wow, the firstborn is very precious.
Yes.
To us. And we know that that's exactly what God did, right? He gave his only begotten son. You see what I'm saying? And it was for our transgression and for the sin of our soul. So there's a little prophetic overlay here in what Micah asked as he asked these profound questions of the Most High God. And then the answer comes, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. God shows you what's good. He teaches you what's right. People can always choose to do good. People don't choose to do good most of the time. A lot of times they don't.
Yep.
But there's no law against doing good. Isn't that what Paul said to the Galatians?
Mm-hmm.
He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and self-control, and temperance. And against such things there is no law. God doesn't make a law against you doing something, going out of your way to do good. There's no law against that. That's great.
Amen.
do all that you want. He said, but basically the works of the flesh are, and then he tells you the source of all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about all kinds of evil and lying and fornicating and all kinds of stuff in that list. And so you have to choose. That's the beautiful thing.
Yes.
Micah is confused here. What do I do, Lord? Are you really satisfied with the offerings that I bring? Or shall I just give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And the Bible simply says this. This is the answer, verse 8. He hath showed the old man what is good. God shows you what's good.
Yes,
and what doth the Lord require of thee? Now, he doesn't require anything of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. In other words, have a relationship with me.
Right.
Let me guide you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you.
Yes.
Let me have mercy on you.
Amen.
Walk with me. Listen to me. I'm talking to you all the time.
Bravo.
And I want you to walk with me. Now, maybe that's where the impetus for that song that we sang last week, Walk With Me, Lord, might come from there. Walk with me. See, if you walk with me, I'm going to be okay. Because I'm on a tedious journey, right?
Yes.
See what I'm saying? It's difficult going through here with all these other folk who are not even thinking about you. And I got to walk with you so I can know what I'm supposed to do in the time of trouble.
Amen.
And so this is the kind of thing we're talking about. So what is the compelling confidence that we have for the guidance of our soul? God wants to guide your soul, which is that part of you that's free to choose. He wants you to elect to do what he said in his word. You know why? Because it's the best thing you can do. You know, some people want to try to say salvation is a cloak for my sin. I can go on and say, no, God is not guiding you that way. He is not. If you're doing that, that's somebody else. You need to put that in check. If you're being pushed somewhere, that's not God. That's the reason I wanted you to know. God will guide you. He wants to give you the truth, and then he wants you to learn the truth and walk in the truth. And confession, the word confess in the Greek is homologeo. Now, y'all don't have to worry. That won't be on the test. But it means to say the same thing. In other words, if God says this about a subject, I say this about a subject. If he doesn't like this, I don't like this. If he hates this, I hate it. If he loves this, I love it. Whatever he does, I say the same thing God says. And it's by choice that you do it. You don't do it because he's making you. He just says, this is right. That's what he said to Micah, isn't it? He said, what did he say there? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. See that? And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly. Choose to do the right thing. The just thing. Walk humbly with me, and I'm going to lead you and guide you to all truth. Now, didn't Jesus say this? He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
See? So getting in the word, that's what you and I have to do. We got to get in the word. So let me just say these things here, and I'll try to keep these thoughts concise. The human soul is that system given to each of us by God through the process of procreation.
Yes.
The miracle of human conception.
Yes.
God supplies a soul, you and I, through half of the chromosomes of a female and half the chromosomes of a male, form a child, and God provides a soul. So that's why we call it procreation.
Yes.
We can't make a soul, but we can give him body, and he'll have a spirit, a human spirit, when he's conceived, but God puts in a soul which has freedom to do and to choose. See, and so that's, I call it a miracle of human conception. It blows my mind every time I look at that birth process. Which is in charge of every decision. This is what the soul is. It's in charge of every decision to make choices for the body, which consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions, and is a portion of the trichotomy, which is a fancy word, it means a thing of units of three, of each human being, which is charged with moral responsibility.
Yes.
Amen. So in other words, even though you have a soul and it's free, God still charges you with moral responsibility. In other words, he expects that you would choose to do the right thing.
Amen.
See? And you would choose to love me. You would choose to see that I love you. I gave my son for you. I gave the firstborn of my soul. I gave his soul for yours.
Amen.
See? And he made it public. And it's in the world. People can't deny it. We got a lot of folks denying it today. Folk don't want to admit that the gospel is true and the world is conformed around Jesus. Tell that to a Muslim sometime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell it to a Jehovah's Witness sometime.
Yes.
They want to put Jesus at another level other than God. See? But God's Son is the one he sat in the center of time.
Amen.
And he did it willfully and made it a part of your everyday life.
Yeah.
See? And he does it so that whosoever believes in him. See, that's an act of the will. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, right?
Yes, amen.
That whosoever believes, it doesn't make any difference where you came from.
No.
If you have a soul, we looked last week at Ezekiel, how many souls belong to God?
Oh.
That's what he said, right? In Ezekiel, all souls are mine, said the Lord. Didn't nobody give you a soul but God. And that soul is free. And that free soul should now see the mercy of God who gave his Son. And you should choose to embrace Christ because it's the best possible choice. That's God's system.
Amen.
To save you. He gave his Son, raised him out the grave. So you know, even that problem that's the most fearful thing we have, you know what the greatest fearful thing we have is?
Death.
And that's what the writer to the Hebrews said. We're going to get back right into that on Tuesday, if the Lord is willing. He said that he gives power to those who through the fear of death were held captive all their life. Once you understand that the thing we hate the most, which is death, God has fixed it.
Amen.
It's fixed.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about it.
All right.
He told me in his word, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't have to worry about that.
Yes.
I can freely choose to love him.
Yes.
Freely choose to do right.
Yes.
Confess and say the same thing God says.
Yes.
See, even and when I'm out of order, you know, that's what I want to do. What's that song said? Long as I live, when trouble arise, what? I hasten to his throne. I'm not going to run away from you.
Yes.
If I got a problem, God, I'm going to run to you.
Yes.
I'm not running away from you.
That's right.
I'm wrong, Lord. Cleanse me.
Yes.
Purge me with hyssop. Isn't that what David said?
Yes.
Wash me and I'll be as white as snow.
Yes.
I'm not running away from God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run to him.
Amen.
And bring come in confessing. Like David, he knew that. If I'm out of order, Lord, against thee and thee only,
yes,
have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That's what he said, Psalm 51, right?
Yes.
He would run into the Lord. It wasn't that he was so spotless and pristine.
What?
It's that I have a relationship with the Most High, who is a merciful God.
Oh, yes, he is.
He said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
And I will dwell,
yes,
in the house of the Lord,
yes,
for 2 days.
Forever.
No, forever.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What am I running from you for? You the one. I ain't running nowhere from you. I'm running to you.
Yeah, Lord.
I'm going to get on my knees and bow before the high God, like,
yeah,
Micah says here.
Yeah.
So your soul is free to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
God has freed you to understand the difference in black and white between right and wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's very clear what's wrong. God makes it clear.
Yeah.
So we got people now wanting to contaminate what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
They want to mix it in, so this is all right. We got to have a unisex bathroom now. Because people don't know whether they're a man or a woman. Are you kidding me? God said you are. There's two genders.
Two.
Male and female created he them.
Yes.
Now, if you're struggling with that, you know, if I'm struggling with that, I'm going to run to God. God, help me.
Because
I am not right here.
Yes.
I need to be fixed.
Yes.
Help me, God.
Yes.
He said, I'll accept you just like you are.
Amen.
Yes.
But I'm not accepting you to leave you like you are.
Amen.
I want you to make the right moral choice to do the right thing.
Amen.
See, and what is the right thing? What I have said in my word. Micah the prophet understood this principle, and he spoke in the Holy Spirit as he considered by what means and mechanism God could means or mechanisms could sinful mankind approach an infinitely holy God. What can I do to get right with you, Lord? I don't understand it, God. Because I know we ain't right. All the folk I know, they ain't right. Everybody got issues. We're the covenant people and we ain't right, God. What? How can we be right? That was his question. He understood that. There's some brokenness in what he said. He says, he wants to know, how can I approach an infinitely holy God, considering the deep magnitude of the depths of the soul, which even when we are at our very best, there remains a deep-seated imperfections and that convict us and presents us as an unclean thing in God's sight. No matter what I do, And he agrees with Isaiah. Remember Isaiah 64:6? He said that all our righteousnesses, O Lord, are as filthy rags in your sight. And our iniquity, like the wind, has blown us away. Like the chaff has blown us away. See, he understood that. A person that is morally turned on, I can say, let's say they agree with God, they know there's some stuff in here ain't right. And if God don't forgive me, I'm not going to be forgiven. See, but the beautiful news is God loves you. And he is forgiving you. He knows your problem. He said, the psalmist said, he knows our frame because he knows that we're but dust. One day I picked up a little dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul.
My Lord, thank you, Jesus.
So God is like a father. He's merciful toward us.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy that he is.
Oh, yes.
I am.
So now let's take a look at the text of James here. Just a minute, we can get out of here. James says this, it's not something you do in a vacuum. This is the reason why the church is critical. That's the congregation of people who are like-minded, who trust and believe that God has raised his son from the dead to save us.
Yes.
This family of God, not just in this local body here, but in the world, there's a whole body of people who believe and trust God.
Amen.
And knows that God teaches.
Amen.
He's a teaching God. He teaches you to do right. So James understands that, and people have put James in opposition with Paul in many cases, but we know that they are congruent. They go together. Their stories fit the same mold, but they're covering different aspects of what God is teaching. James says this about the church. This is me and you. Confess your faults one to another. Did you think you were in a room with a bunch of perfected people in here when you came in here? No. He says, confess your faults one to another. We have faults. We're saved,
yes,
but we got faults.
Yes,
and confess means say the same thing among yourselves. Your faults, one to another. Not even necessarily to God. I'm going to go talk to Brother Michael if I got an issue. Or I might talk to Brother Dr. Adams or Brother G. See, I'm going to talk to different folks and say, hey man, this is not right. And I know God says I shouldn't do it. How do we get, and we're going to pray together. Let's watch this. He shows us the whole thing. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Healed. That's a sickness of the soul that needs to be healed. If I got faults that are unlike God. And then this is the promise. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I thought we had faults and were twisted up here in the first part of this. How did we get to be righteous men? Wow. Somewhere in the cracks there, God is in the white spaces between there. And if you trust Jesus, that's where your sin went. Now I'll put you in a family together.
Yes.
And I want you to confess your faults.
My Lord.
One to another. Don't go around saying, you know, I am so pristine. When I walk in, y'all walk a few steps behind me. Y'all, none of that. Don't do that. I'm not elevated and high and righteous. No, we got issues. We got problems.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to work them out because God has given his son to save us. The firstborn of his himself for the sin of our soul, like Micah says.
Thank you.
Now notice, he gives us an illustration. He says Elijah, that's what the modern translations read. This is the old King James way of saying Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was just like me and you. You hear that, you go, boy, I thought he was the one that called fire down out of heaven. Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
He the one who told the prophets of Baal, go ahead, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Dig a trench around there, throw some water on it and everything, and my God can handle it. He had enough faith to boast on God because he knew God, by faith, God would answer. But he says he was just an average, everyday dude. This is my interpretation here. With like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, 3.5 years.
Wow.
Think about that. Wow. He said, Lord, just stop the rain. God had already given him permission and premonition that this would happen. And he prayed again after the 3.5 years, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That's pretty deep there, isn't it? 3.5 years. Now notice what James goes on to say. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, Well, I thought he was talking to righteous people here. If any of you do err, that means you take a wrong turn. You didn't do it right this week. You missed the boat. You kind of tripped. Okay? And one, convert him. Somebody else comes and intervenes in the fact that you're tripping. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. See that? When we're going against God, we're heading for death. When we're walking in our own way, we're heading for death. When we're being pushed somewhere, that's the devil trying to push you into death. Or the world trying to get you hung up in something that is a system of death. You see? But God sent his son. But if you can convert somebody from going down that road, that lets you see we're supposed to be walking in harmony with God. We're supposed to be compelled by the mercy and the goodness of God to walk toward God when we have problems and sins. But you can hide the multitude of sins simply by helping your brother and sister stay on track.
Amen.
See that? So James tells us that it is in fellowship one with another that we who have embraced God's gift, keep in mind salvation is only a gift of his only begotten Son as the only acceptable offering for us, making it possible for the Holy Spirit of God to indwell us. Mm-hmm. See, God gives you a helper. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you when you trust in Jesus Christ. That we can rest assured that God himself, by way of the blood of Jesus, his firstborn, will be with us for every mountain, every trial, every difficulty, and any other item that works against us. That's why Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, So no matter what obstacles you're dealing with, no matter what trials, difficulties, or any other thing working against you, that God is able.
Oh, he's
and
able.
There are no weapons that are formed against you that can prosper.
That's right. Amen.
And that are greater than God's love. Whatever you're facing, everything is pales by comparison to the love that God has for you. See, and so it's in that network of the church, you and I being here together, and we got to be for real. We can't be walking around. I hear so many people, there's a big debate going on. I'm just going to say this and I'm done. A big debate talking about, well, is salvation once you save, always save? People don't believe that. And then others say, oh, if you're not walking holy, you know, the fact is, if you are saved, you know what? You want to walk holy.
That's right.
Doesn't mean you're going to do it perfectly all the time.
That's right.
Obviously, we would need passages like James, 1 John, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if we say we have not sinned, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. See, and that doesn't mean sin is okay. It just means that sin is ubiquitous. That's a big fancy word that means ever present.
That's it.
You always have the temptation to do something wrong. And some stuff you're doing is wrong and you know it. And that's the stuff that when we come to the Lord's table, he said, this do as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And you do show forth my death. Now what is that for? His death is the payment for all of our sin. So in order to get your sin cleansed, he put a fountain that's filled with blood. That poured from Emmanuel's vein. That sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. See, and that's the real church.
Yes, it is.
The real church knows we got issues.
Yes, we do.
We're not proud of it.
No, we're not.
But we are working with one another. We come together and we confess our faults. And God says, I will continue to forgive you. But you need to start with a relationship with me. That's where it begins. When you know Jesus as your personal Savior. See, just like David, he was walking with God. The Bible even says David was a man, what, after God's own heart? Wow, but what about the Bathsheba situation? He slipped up, tripped up, and the flesh got the best of him. See? And the situation just got uglier and uglier and uglier until he was blinded and then he realized what he was doing. See? And then when Nathan the prophet came and gave him a parable and told him, you know, he gave the parable about the rich man that had plenty of sheep and all that. And then the poor man across the road over there only had one ewe lamb.
Ewe lamb,
it was a pet. They weren't even planning on eating it. It was just a little pet they keep around here so the kids can play with it, kind of like a dog. And his company came, the rich man's company came, and he said, Dip, go over there and get that man's new lamb and bring it over here and dress it for my company. What? They said, that's outrageous. Whoever did that should be put to death. Bring him now.
Yes.
And Nathan said, David, you.
You the man.
You are the man.
You the man.
He had to realize, man, some of you twisted. You done got off the track.
You know what I'm
saying? See? So we don't just go off the track and stay and say, God is going to continue to bless me as I continue to walk away from him.
No.
You confess your sin. Confess means to say the same thing. Say what God says about it. He loves you, and that's why he called you. And he loves you so much, he's already shown you ahead of time. I gave my son already. My hand is face up, if you want to use a card metaphor, on the table. Now, what's in your hand? See, I show you. Here's what I got. I gave you my son. He was crucified.
Amen.
He was buried. Plus, I prophesied that he would be crucified, buried, and then raised him out of the grave to show you that he himself had done nothing wrong. The soul of Jesus was perfect.
Perfect.
It was spotless from eternity to eternity.
Everlasting.
He was never contaminated in the sight of God, ever. The closest thing that came to it was when he was mutilated and marred, and our sin was heaped up on him on the cross. He was not only the Lamb of God, but he was also the scapegoat.
Yes.
God heaped our sin on him, and he carried it away forever.
Oh, yes.
If
thank
you believe
you, Lord.
In him. So that's all we're doing. Let us all stand.
Thank you, Lord.
Wrap this up. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for giving your son. Father, we thank you that you give us the revelation of it. Father, we thank you that you placed him in the middle of our time, even in our calendar and in history. Lord, so that we can lean on him and depend on him. And by trusting him, you have declared, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to cover us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us to walk in your word by faith throughout this whole year.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be those who see the others in the error of their ways and turn them from their sin by sharing the gospel with them, Lord God. And we give you praise. We declare this in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
The church say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a praise. Amen. Amen. So if you're here and you'd like to unite with the church today, we give you that opportunity. You can come at this time. We will receive you.
Hallelujah.
Even if you're just being saved, you can come at this time. If you're already saved and you want to unite with the church family as a church home, come at this time. Amen. We'll give you that time just before we hear the benediction. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there's room. Hope you got a good word from the message. Amen.